In our final conversation before kickoff, I have leftover thoughts, an injury update with banged up Bills, and final game predictions all coming your way today on Locked On Bills.
You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Monday to you, and thank you for making Locked On Bills your first listen every day. And as a reminder to you, we are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Today's episode of Locked On Bills is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. You pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. Now, folks, I know I said happy Monday to you, and I'm actually posting this on Sunday night. And so resist the urge to leave a comment and say, hey, Joe, it's Sunday. Well, yeah, I'm just trying to give you a little more time to listen to the podcast because the game is Monday, and I want to post it on Sunday night to extend the runway so people have more time to consume the podcast. And so I just wanted to extend the runway. Sorry. Resist the urge to say, Joe, it's not Monday. I know that. I'm just trying to give you more time to consume the podcast, but it is the Monday podcast. All right, let's talk about the Buffalo Bills. I've got some leftover thoughts to share with you to open this up. Then we're going to talk to Dr. Kyle Trimble about the injuries. And then, of course, my game predictions. I have 5 of them for you per usual. Well, I think the big storyline right now as we are on the doorstep of this game is the Bills have some injuries to be mindful of at defensive tackle, at wide receiver, and maybe at cornerback. And so I wanted to get into what the plan is without those players. We'll start with defensive tackle, where Ed Oliver has been ruled out for the game, and Tim Settle is doubtful. I don't think we're going to see either player. So 2 of the Bills' 4 defensive tackles are not going to be available. Now, the Bills do have options, and I think the most obvious one is to call up Braden Bryant from the practice squad, a guy that's been around for a while. He's played in games for the Bills, a veteran, very athletic. He's the obvious choice to call up, activate for game day, and play him, right? Play him 25-30% of the snaps. I think that's a very realistic path. The Bills also have other, defensive tackles on the practice squad in C.J. Brewer and Prince Amili. They're both options to be called up as well. The other variable that I think is worth mentioning is Shaq Lawson, and I know that he's a defensive end, but he's a bigger defensive end that you feel like can play some 3 technique from time to time. And that's what you're losing in Oliver and Settle, are those guys that play the 3. And so Bryant is definitely that athletic guy that can play the 3. And then Shaq Lawson, you can reduce inside, play as like a 4-eye, as a 3 technique, and get some value there. So my expectation for the Bills is to call up Bryant, activate him, play him, and then Shaq Lawson to be one of your active players. And they're all going to play against the Titans. And so with you perhaps being a little shorthanded at defensive tackle, I think this puts a little bit more stress on the Bills' offense to score points early and get Tennessee out of their desire to run the football, put them in chase mode, make them force, make them one-dimensional, and take away Derrick Henry. I think the Bills need to be very, very aggressive offensively, get that lead, and get the Titans out of running the football, because you don't have you don't have 2 of your main defensive tackles in Tim Settle and Ed Oliver. It makes things harder to stop the run. So get up and make them throw the football, and that plays into where they're not as strong. The other player that popped up on the injury report is Gabriel Davis, wide receiver, ankle injury, questionable for the game. We'll see what happens there, but let's talk about this from the perspective of Gabe Davis not playing tonight. And I always think the Bills are going to be cautious with injuries. That's something I'm always mindful of. And so early in the season, especially when you have a short week coming up here, you're at Miami on Sunday, you're not going to rush guys back or force guys into action for Monday night. So if Gabe Davis isn't able to go, one of the, you know, true outside perimeter receivers of the Bills have, I think, first of all, you're going to see a lot more Jake Kumerow in this game. And let's keep in mind that last week we saw a fair amount of Jake Kumerow in the game offensively. Jake played 24% of the offensive snaps. And so I think that'll go up a ton, where Gabe Davis doesn't really come off the field when the Bills are on offense. And part of that is because he's such a strong blocker. Well, that's where Jake Kumerow really comes in and helps replace so much of what Gabe Davis does for the offense in his blocking role. You know, you're going to see even more Kumerow doing that as that insert blocker, play side blocker. That's going to happen. So I would anticipate no Gabe Davis means a whole lot more Jake Kumerow, and his 24% of offensive snaps could push 50%+ against the Titans, especially because I said that blocking role. The other piece here is that I think you'll see an active Khalil Shakir. He was inactive against the Rams. If Gabe Davis is inactive, you get Khalil Shakir active, and that's how you kind of replace that production. Obviously, it's going to mean a little bit more for everybody else, right? Whether that's Steph Diggs or Jamison Crowder or Isaiah McKenzie or even the tight end, it's just you got to even be even more deliberate about incorporating all of your weapons. But specifically for Gabe, more Jake Kumerow and an active Khalil Shakir, I would believe, is the plan. I do have two offensive X factors that have come to my mind that could be different about this game compared to what we saw against the Rams. And the first one is Quentin Morris, right? Quentin Morris wasn't available against the Rams. He was injured, but he's practiced in full. He's going to be good to go for Monday night. And the reason this is significant, and it's something that I observed watching the game, is that we saw a lot of Reggie Gilliam playing wide receiver, right? Reggie Gilliam played 9 reps of wide receiver against the Rams. I think he had like 6 reps outside and 3 from the slot. And so that goes to Quentin Morris, right? I think that's why a big part of Quentin Morris and his role in this offense is to be detached from the formation, to flex out and be a perimeter player as both a blocker and a receiver. I don't think you necessarily want Reggie Gilliam being that type of player for you. I think that's the piece of Reggie Gilliam's role that can be absorbed by Quentin Morris, and you'll have a more dynamic, talented pass catcher in those reps to throw the football to. And so, first of all, Quentin Morris is, as an active player, claiming some of those roles that Reggie Gilliam had, I think is something that could be different this week. And then number two, this is a fresh game for James Cook, right? I mean, the guy goes out and fumbles on his first touch, but he does bring another element to the offense. He brings speed at running back. He brings pass catching. And so a fresh game for James Cook, I think the Bills will want to get him going, right? You have this guy who's probably in the dumps, right? I mean, the guy fumbled on his first touch, really didn't get a chance to get back in the game. You took him in the second round because you plan on him being a part of what you're doing offensively. I think he gets an opportunity to redeem himself on Monday night. Zach Moss against the Rams was the second most targeted player on the team. Diggs had 9 targets. Zach Moss had 6. We're not going to live in a world like that all the time. I surely believe that at least 4 or 5 of those targets for Zach Moss were intended to go to James Cook. And so a fresh game for James Cook, providing that role that they envisioned for him when they drafted, and that not being as much Zach Moss, is another X factor for this game offensively. The next thing I want to mention as I consider this game and I dump all my leftover thoughts before the Bills kick off against the Titans is this is our first real opportunity to see if the Bills are going to do some things a little bit differently on defense. Will they play more 3 linebacker stuff? And this is a big narrative that I kind of pushed this offseason because the Bills were going to be playing a lot of run-heavy teams, and just the nature of having Josh Allen as your quarterback, you're going to want to keep him off the field and control drives and milk clock and run the football. And would the Bills counter that by playing more 3 linebacker sets? We saw them do it a little bit late in the season last year, drafting Terrell Bernard in the 3rd round, right? All the linebacker depth that they have. They drafted Baylen Specter as well, Tyrell Dodson back in the fray. This is our first real chance to see if they're going to play more 3 linebackers. Now, the Rams, they stayed in 11 personnel the entire game. 3 wide receivers every single snap. And they're not a super physical run game, right? They don't have big, powerful backs. They're not necessarily loaded with mauling offensive linemen. The Titans bring more of that, obviously, a 250-pound back in Derrick Henry. They've got some really good run blockers in a Nate Davis, in a Taylor Lewan, in a Ben Jones. You know, they're going to present different challenges with their run game. So do we see the Bills opt to put more three linebacker sets on the field? Do they stay in the 4-2-5 base nickel, or do they go into sub and put three linebackers on the field? And I think it comes down to these two questions. One, do you want Taron Johnson fitting the run versus Derrick Henry? Okay, that doesn't sound great. Neither does the other side of the coin. Do you want Terrell Bernard in coverage against Kyle Phillips, Robert Woods, and Treylon Burks? That's your trade-off. Because when they run the ball and you're in three linebacker sets, you feel good about it. And when they pass the ball and you're in nickel, you feel good about it. You feel like you got the right personnel in the field to counter what the offense is doing. But it's when that's not the case. When they run it and you're in 4-2-5, or they throw it and you're in 4-3, now you've got a player that's not necessarily ideal for that role. So I think that's what that's the question the Bills have to ask themselves. And I think it goes back to something I already mentioned, and that the flow of this game is going to dictate that. If the Bills are going to play in a slobber knocker, right, tightly contested game, back and forth, the Titans get to stay in their script, the Bills have to be, you know, kind of two-dimensional, then that plays into it, right? Because the Titans are going to want to run the ball continuously throughout the game. If you can get up on them and put them in chase mode and make them throw the football and make them not two-dimensional and really limit Derrick Henry's ability to impact the game by being up a couple of scores, that's going to change things, and it's going to allow you to be a little bit more free on both sides of the football. So if there ever was a game for the Bills to be aggressive and score points early, it's this one, because I think you're in a tough place with your defensive personnel if you want to go base or you want to play in nickel. And then the other dynamic of not having your defensive tackles the way that you want at full strength in this type of game. So get them out of that run as quickly as you possibly can. One other nugget I want to talk about here as we open up this podcast and before we talk to Dr. Kyle Trimble and, of course, give you my game predictions is I want to elaborate a little bit more on this kickoff stuff that I mentioned this week on the podcast, but I want to make this very practical for you. And I talked about how the Bills have done a very good job of not just kicking a touchback when they're on kickoff team. And we know that based on the NFL rules, if it's a touchback, the offense starts with the football at the 25-yard line. That's decent field position. Now, a smart team like the Bills recognizes that and says, you know what? We're not just going to give you the ball at the 25. You're going to earn that. We're going to force you to return it. And so we're going to ask Tyler Bass to kick off the ball in such a way that it lands close to the goal line and dares them to return it. And we're not just going to give you the 25. We're going to dare you to get there. And a lot of times we're going to stop you before it. And people call those hidden yards. I don't think they're hidden. They're right there. If you kick a touchback, it's a 25. If you tackle them at the 20, then they lose 5 yards. That's not hidden. It's right there. There's a correlation between average starting field position and scoring points. The less distance you have to go, the easier it is to score points. I mean, you don't have to be a scientist to figure that out. So last week, the Bills kicked the ball off 6 times. Let's talk about what happened real quick on each one of them. Number one, their first kickoff of the game, the ball was fielded at the goal line by the Rams. They returned it to the 17-yard line. Jaquan Johnson made the tackle. The Rams started at the 17. Not the 25, the 17. That's a big deal. That's 8% of the field because you chose to make them return a kick and not concede the 25-yard line. Number two, it was a big goof, right? The second kickoff, Tyler Bass kicked the ball out of bounds. The Rams started at the 40. Oh, by the way, it was the only touchdown drive that they had. Well, it's because they started at the 40. They had good field position. Number three, the ball was fielded 1 yard into the end zone. It was returned to the 11-yard line. Taiwan Jones and Saran Neal made the tackle. The Rams started with the ball at the 11. That was actually to start the second half. Sean McDermott credits the Bills' strong start in the second half and what they were able to do, winning the game 21-0 in the second half. to this play, right? You put them in deep in their own territory on a kickoff. So they don't get to start at the 25, start at the 11. That's a big deal. That's a lot of field position. The fourth kickoff was a touchback. The Rams start at 25. The fifth kickoff was fielded at the 5. It was returned to the 22. Damar Hamlin made the tackle, so they lost 3 yards. And the last one was fielded at the 3, returned to the 24, and so they didn't get the 25. They lost 1 yard. But the point being, for a team that prioritizes special teams, for a team that pays Tyler Medicavage and Saron Neal and Taiwan Jones every year, this is how you take advantage of that personnel and allow it to make a difference in football games. You don't just concede a touchback and give the other team the ball at the 25. You dare them to return it. And you're paying these dudes to go down and run down there and make these tackles. Keep doing it and keep forcing teams to earn good field position against you, and don't just assume they can have the 25-yard line against your defense. Love that mentality. And if you have the guys to do it, that's an advantage. That's an X factor for your football team. With a Monday Night Football doubleheader, you have to get in on the action over at Prize Picks tonight. Prize Picks is my favorite daily fantasy resource. How does it work? Well, you pick 2 to 5 players, and if they will go score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. No competing against other players. It's just you versus the projections available. So what happens is you can look at it, and they'll have an over-under for Josh Allen's passing yards, and over-under for Derrick Henry's rushing yards, and over-under for Stephon Diggs' receiving yards. And they'll have all the, you know, a lot of different players available for different statistical categories. You click over-under, stack 2 to 5 of them together. If you get it right, you can really rack up on your money. And it's super easy. You can make entries in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. They have all the sports. It's not just NFL. I mean, you name it, they have it. Major League Baseball, PGA, tennis, cricket. I mean, you name it, they have it over there. And we do have a deal for you. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. So if you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you 100. If you deposit 50, Prize Picks will give you 50. Don't forget to enter promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match worth up to $100. I'm joined now by Kyle Trimble. He's a doctor of physical therapy. He runs bangedupbills.com. You can follow him on Twitter at bangedupbills. He gets us ready for each Bills game from the injury perspective. And we have a unique opportunity this week because we have the chance to respond to the actual injury report. Whenever you typically get this segment from us, we're reflecting on the Thursday injury report for a Friday podcast. The Bills are playing on Monday. Got a little bit of an extended runway, and so we could talk about the actual final injury report. And so let's do that and start with a couple of defensive tackles. Ed Oliver, ankle injury, out on Monday night against the Titans. And also Tim Settle, he's doubtful with a calf injury. We know Ed Oliver's not going to play, but would like your thoughts on if there's any long-term concerns there. And then, of course, whatever you can give us on Tim Settle.
Yeah. So it's highly unfortunate that Ed Oliver is out for Monday night. He was expected to be a huge piece to stop Derrick Henry and the Titans, but the Bills appear they don't want to rush him back out in the field if he's not 100%, especially this early in the season. To recap, he suffered a medial ankle sprain while trying to tackle Cooper Kupp in the week one game against the Rams. He pivoted real hard to catch Kupp, and then he got like 10 bodies falling on him, which added insult to injury. He was able to return to play, then left shortly thereafter, and he's not practiced all week. So to see him be out isn't a surprise, considering the precedent that Bills have set with not practicing, not playing, but he's going to be a big loss up the middle. As for Tim Settle, he's doubtful with a calf. He did confirm that this is a calf that he was working through in the preseason, which caused him to miss every preseason game except the first one. It's highly unfortunate that it's a re-injury, but that's just how calf injuries are at times. He's listed as doubtful, but I don't expect he plays because there has not been a doubtful player that has played in the McDermott era since he's came in. And if you listen to the pod for a while now, I did some research last year on questionable designations. One of those being doubtful participation. And I found that since 2017, only less than 2% of the league who had a doubtful designation did play. And so there's 98% chance that Tim Settle will not play on Monday night. I think you can write in that he's going to be inactive. It's unfortunate, but they can bring up Brandon Bryant and CJ Brewer to kind of help shore up the middle of the defensive line.
Yeah, the Bills do have some depth there. You hate to have both Oliver and Settle out, but it certainly feels like we're trending in that direction. Like you mentioned there, Brandon Bryant off the practice squad, activating Shaq Lawson. The Bills have some bodies there, but you'd love to have Oliver and Settle, if not at least one of them. But it doesn't look like that's going to be the case for Monday night. Let's talk about cornerback Dane Jackson. Didn't practice Thursday or Friday, but was full on Saturday with a knee injury, listed as questionable for the game. Kind of a unique situation here because we don't think anything happened against the Titans. It was more of an in-practice injury. What can you tell us about Dane Jackson?
So Jackson did confirm that this did suffer. He did suffer the injury in practice on Wednesday. He was going for a one-on-one drill, came down, kind of tweaked the knee. Hard to say exactly what he would have injured in there. Thankfully, it wasn't more serious when he comes down on it and tweaks it. But he said he's feeling really good. He's confident he'll play on Monday night. And he's wearing a compression sleeve, which I expect will carry over to the Monday night game. But he's moving around great in practice, performing lunges, doing karaoke, drills, anything that can help make the knee move around. And a full practice helps confirm the fact that he'll play Monday.
Big shout out to John Scott from Spectrum News. He always does a good job of providing practice video. And I know that you're scouring the internet to see these guys moving around. And so thanks for those who provide that. And thanks to you for checking into it so you can share this information with us. Now, there was one other guy that popped up, Gabe Davis, ankle injury. I don't know that we know a ton about the situation. Obviously, this is something that happened on Friday or Saturday, something along those lines, was limited on Saturday as a designation of questionable for the game. What can you tell us about wide receiver two?
We don't know a whole lot about the ankle injury other than Adam Schefter reported it, and then the injury report came out around the same time. So they said he injured it late in practice on Saturday. We don't know which side. We don't know how severe. We don't know how much practice he missed. He could have missed one repetition. He's good to go. Or he could have missed it, injured it early on in practice and missed most of the session. So I did some research, and this was posted on Twitter on Saturday night, and I had found about 50% of guys who suffered in-practice injury did end up playing. Most of them that did play were older players, and most of them that did play were more joint injuries, you know, your sprains, things like that, back injuries versus their soft tissue injuries. So there's still plenty of guys who did suffer an injury in practice, such as the ankle or knee, that did not play the following game. But it's going to come down to just the severity and where they feel they're comfortable with that. I wish I could give you more information other than the fact that he has had two right ankle injuries the past 2 years, one heading into the AFC Championship game, which did significantly limit him. And then in week one of the 2021 season, and he was real slow, a real slow start to the beginning of the season because of that injury as well. So if there's any concern, then they're going to want to hold him out. But if this is always so injured to the right ankle, there could be enough laxity because of the prior injuries that he might bounce back quicker. So throw a little tape on there, get him back out there. But we just don't know enough information. So if I were you, I'd be watching the pregame warmups, any updates from Adam Schefter, Ian Rapoport. Those kind of guys would get that information first, and we'll just see how the everything kind of lays out come Monday night.
And there's some things we don't know, but we do know that the Bills are typically very, very cautious when it comes to injury. Nobody is rushed back. They want to limit the amount of time that guys are have to be out, and so I'd expect the Bills to be pretty cautious with all of these players. But it does sound like if there's any one of these guys that's going to go, it's probably going to be Dane Jackson. And so the idea of there being two rookie corners on the field at the same time may not happen unless it's late in the game. The Bills have the lead. You get them both out there. But fingers crossed on that being the case. Hopefully everybody comes back healthy. If they do play, nothing further happens here. So Dr. Kyle Trimble, thank you for your time and sharing your expertise on the podcast and getting us ready from an injury perspective. Turo is the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car you want, wherever you want it, from a community of local hosts. You can browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget across the U.S., Canada, and the U.K. You can book a spacious SUV or minivan for a family road trip. You can get a classic or luxury car for a special event, birthday, or holiday. Maybe you just want to find an affordable economy car if you're on a budget and you just need to get from point A to point B. You can also test drive that new electric vehicle you've had your eye on to see if it fits into your everyday life. Many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to you. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Ditch boring rental cars and find your drive at Turo.com. We all know when it comes to sports, teamwork is everything. Every player on the field has their role that contributes to helping the team win. And honestly, it's the same when it comes to game day snacking. Whether it's making the dip or bringing the chips, everyone has their role. And if it's you bringing the chips, let me tell you, I'm going to make you the MVP because Zach's Mighty Tortilla Chips are out here changing the game. These are the best tortilla chips out there. My wife and I love them. We love to make different dips, you know, spinach dip, artichoke dip. We love to dip tortillas in our chili, buffalo chicken dip, you name it, guacamole. We love them. And these things are delicious. They're crunchy and they never break. Don't you hate that whenever you're going to have like a tortilla chip and you dip it in your guac and it snaps in half? You never have to worry about that with a Zach's Mighty tortilla chip. They are sturdy, crunchy, and delicious. And I love that they're made from organic Flint corn that is grown in upstate New York. So be the hero of this week's tailgate and grab a bag of Zach's Mighty tortilla chips at your local Wegmans. Zach's Mighty tortilla chips, making you the MVP. All right, it's prediction time. I've got five predictions for you regarding how I think this game is going to go against the Tennessee Titans. So four predictions about the game, and then, of course, my fifth prediction is the result. My first prediction: the Bills will have more rushing yards than the Titans. The Bills will have more rushing yards than the Titans. Maybe that's a hot take. Titans have Derrick Henry. They're going to need to run the ball. They're not as effective passing it. They need to lean into that. Okay. I think the Bills will have more rushing yards. I mean, Titans gave up quite a bit to Saquon Barkley last week with the Giants. But I think the Bills are going to be able to take advantage of some smaller linebackers, some inconsistent linebackers, a lack of depth up front with their D-line, create some displacement and move the football a little bit on the ground. I think they will outgain the Titans on the ground. And of course, Josh Allen, always an X factor there, where I think he'll be able to gain some chunks on some scrambles. But I think this Bills rushing offense in terms of blocking was so good last week against the Rams. And I think that there's more opportunity against this front seven to run the football than the Rams, where I think Ernest Jones and Aaron Donald, obviously, Greg Gaines, Bobby Wagner, those are really good players compared to what Tennessee has. And, you know, Jeffrey Simmons is a stud, but I'm not sure that there's enough next to him to anchor against the run. I think the Bills will create some displacement, move the football on the ground quite a bit against Tennessee. They outrushed Tennessee on Monday night. Number two, Dawson Knox, 50 yards and a touchdown. We're going to parlay this thing. Give me over 50 receiving yards and a receiving touchdown. One of the surprises to me from the Rams game was that, you know, Dawson Knox just had like one catch, right? He wasn't a huge part of that game plan. And I think that's somewhat of a victim of how the Rams played soft shell defense, keep everything in front of them. The Bills didn't necessarily space the field that much. And I think it played away from Dawson Knox and his ability to really impact the football game. And so I think there'll be a bigger emphasis on getting him the ball against Tennessee. And, Dawson Knox is a Nashville, right? He grew up in Nashville. So I think there's going to be a little bit of an urgency from a number of different angles. You know, the Nashville angle, the fact that he wasn't heavily involved last week, home opener, fan favorite. I think Dawson Knox gets 50 yards and a touchdown tonight, at least. Number three, at least five touches for James Cook. And maybe that's not super hot takey, but the guy had one touch in the opener and fumbled. I think this is the type of game where the Bills are going to want to establish James Cook a little bit, give him some opportunities in the passing game. You know, Zach Cunningham's not a good coverage linebacker. There could be some opportunities there. They're down to like a slot corner that just signed on with the team recently. I think there's going to be some chances for James Cook to get going a little bit. So whether it's some perimeter runs or catches, I am expecting at least five touches for James Cook in this football game as they look to put the past in the past and move forward with the role they envision for him on this offense. Number four, I am predicting at least 4 sacks for the Bills defense. I know they had 7 sacks last week against the Rams, and they've been on a really good pace dating back to last year. I've talked about this week on the podcast. But the reason this is somewhat of a bold prediction is because lately Tannehill hasn't been getting sacked as much, and the Bills didn't sack him at all last year. So dating back to last year, Ryan Tannehill wasn't sacked more than once in a game over his last 3 games. Now, he did get sacked 47 times last year, but a lot of those issues were early in the season. Now, he still has a sack rate of over 7% for his career, so he's a very sackable quarterback. But whether it's been his last 3 games or the Bills game last year where Buffalo didn't sack Tannehill a single time, I think that will change against Buffalo on Monday night. So give me 4 sacks for this Bills defense. Obviously, I'm buying into what the Bills have in terms of their pass rush, even without Ed Oliver and Tim Settle. But I think there's some opportunities here, whether that's, like we talked about, a very undersized guard in Aaron Brewer at left guard. It's like 285, 290 pounds, 6'1", making his 8th career start at UDFA in 2020. Or their right tackle, Nicholas Petit-Frere out of Ohio State, making his 2nd career start. Never a guy that I envisioned as a day one NFL starter. And then Nate Davis, their right guard, he's got a little bit of an injury right now. He'll probably play, but he's always been a better run blocker than pass blocker. So I think there's just going to be some opportunities for Buffalo to win some one-on-ones up front. Get Von Miller going against Nicholas Petit-Frere. Get Jordan Phillips on Aaron Brewer. There's some chances here. Obviously, you'll have Greg Rousseau and A.J. Epinesa and Boogie Basham. I mean, there's a lot of chances that the Bills will have to tee off and rush the passer here. I'm leaning into this. I think the Bills will get 4 or more sacks of Ryan Tannehill on Monday night. The last prediction for you is the game result. Do I think the Bills win this game or do they lose? No, I think the Bills win. I think they take care of their business at home. Monday Night Football, home opener. Josh Allen always shows up, especially in prime time. The Titans, I think, are an okay team. I think they're a little bit undermanned. They don't have much depth. They're kind of stressed in some areas. I think they need to for the game to go a certain way to win. I think they have to really impose their will from a rushing offense perspective and get some takeaways on defense. And you know, even then, that might not be enough because I just have so much confidence in Josh Allen putting on a show. Monday Night Football, home opener, coming off a really strong game against the Rams. Buffalo has some extra time to prepare a common opponent. I mean, even Josh last year, they didn't win the game, but he was extremely productive. And so I don't think from a personnel perspective, this Tennessee team is better right now than it was last year. And I think the Bills are going to like this game being at home. I'm expecting the Bills to put up some points, take care of their business, start the season 2-0, and then go play the Miami Dolphins on the road in week 3. So there you have it. That's everything I have to say about this football game. Leftover thoughts. Big shout out to Dr. Kyle Trimble for sharing his expertise. Of course, I hope you enjoyed my game predictions. The next time we'll talk is after the game. I'll sit down and record the podcast and put it out as quickly as I can. So the game's like in that, it's starting a little bit early in that 7 o'clock hour. And so I guess sometime midnight Eastern time, 1 a.m., something like that, the podcast will be out for you to consume, of course, on Tuesday. And hopefully it's our first Victory Tuesday of the year. So make sure that you don't miss it. Come on back. Please make sure that you're subscribed. Would love it if you took a second to rate, review, and share the podcast. Enjoy the game. Go Bills. And I look forward to catching up with you on Tuesday.